Thank you for taking the time to listen to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. We hope you find it has meaning and relevance for your life. And now may you be blessed as you hear the reading of God's Word.
By faith, Noah, warned by God about events as yet unseen, respected the warning and built an ark to save his household. By this, he condemned the world and became an heir to the righteousness that is in accordance with faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith he received the power of procreation, even though he was too old, and Sarah herself was barren, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven, and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth. For people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them. This is the good news of the Lord.
So I ask you to think about who you grew up, your heroes being, or possibly who they are right now, whether you're 5 years old or whether you are 50 years old or whether you're 105 years old. Who is it that you idolized? When you were running around in your front yard, were you flying around with a cape on your back? Or were you like me, shooting webs out of your hands, trying to swing from couch to couch? Back and forth. Did you have a golden lariat? Were you Wonder Woman? Or did you go more of the human route? And were you out in the backyard shooting jump shots like Michael Jordan? Were you doing dance moves like Michael Jackson? Were you working on computers, kind of pulling the Bill Gates, Steve Jobs angle of things? Because everyone's got heroes of some sorts. It always, you know, most of the time, you grew up in Dallas, and my heroes have always been Cowboys, right? You've got Roger Staubach, followed by Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, you know. Some people still hold Tony Romo in that account, but, you know, we'll see about that, maybe judging by today. And then there's people in other, you know, they want to be singers, they want to be stars. Everyone is reaching, as we talked about in the first week of this sermon series, that everyone's got a bigger dream. No one wants to be the same place that they are right now. Everyone wants to be bigger and better. Everyone wants to be on stage. Everyone wants to be something greater than they are. I always get tickled when I speak to middle schoolers or high schoolers or something like that. And the first person that ever did this was saying something, and I was like, well, who are your heroes? And Dirk Nowitzki, Michael Young, you know, Maroon 5, you know, all these different things that they were mentioning out. And then one person goes, Steve Jobs. And so I started going to the expert, and I was like, Steve Jobs, really? Come on, he's a geek. But as I think about what Steve Jobs did and what Bill Gates did and some of these other CEO types that I've heard people say that their heroes are these business guys and they're middle schoolers. And it makes me wonder what we classify as a hero. Because like I said in the children's moment, when I put on this shirt, I can't jump any higher. I can't shoot a basketball any better. I can't run faster. I certainly can't stop bullets with my chest. Let's not try that anywhere soon. There's just a lot of things I still can't do. And so what classifies the hero? When you look at all these people, they're great in a certain way. They've got some special skill. And is that what the special skill is? When we're growing up, when we're running around in capes, are we really so adamant about flying? Are we adamant about leaping tall buildings in a single leap? Do we really want to have claws come out of our fists that we can slice people up with? Is that what we're after? Or are we after the impossible? I ask you, what, you know, who were your heroes growing up? Who did you run around in the yard pretending you were going to be? When you got a baseball bat in your hand, did you say, okay, Mickey Mantle steps up to the plate. He's ready to go. Someone who transcends culture, transcends the game even. Well, I wonder, reading Hebrews 11, who did Jesus run around the yard playing as? There's a great book that I read. It's a fictional tale of Jesus growing up. It's called The Gospel According to Christ's Childhood, Pal Biff. And it's a very funny read, mature audiences only, please. But it's really this great spiritual journey that you read about, and it's taken from scripture and kind of legends that have come down. And one of the things it talks about is Jesus playing with his friends outside. And they play games like, okay, I'm David, you be Goliath. I'm Noah, okay, you be all the people who are telling me I'm a fool for building this ark. All the great biblical heroes listed in Hebrews 11. Now, are they playing David because he's really good with a slingshot? Are they playing Noah because he's got carpentry skills? Because if that's the case, I'm sure there was someone else right next door who was just as good. I'm sure there would be someone who would come next. I'm sure there is somebody who fits that bill. But there are heroes, and then there are superheroes. Heroes are people we kind of look up to one day and fly by night the next. Heroes are something that kind of comes and goes. Superheroes never die. Even in comic books, Superman has been brought back to life like 17 times, I learned. Heroes never die because if Superman ever went away, people would cry. People would lose that majestic feeling of Superman, the all-powerful, all-can-do-anything savior of Metropolis. And the thing, though, that I found as I started thinking about heroes and superheroes is that superheroes are the ones who see the impossible as possible. When thousands and thousands of people are fleeing from Metropolis because another bad guy is coming to town, a skyscraper is falling, there's a 50-mile-wide comet coming in, and all these people, the only thing they see is, oh my gosh, we're going to die. Let me save myself. Let me run. Let's get under the cover. And then, you know, the funny thing is when you see the movies and there's a 50-mile-wide comet and somebody like hides under a desk. Those of you who grew up in the 50s can relate to this with a nuclear scare hiding under a desk. All they see is doom and gloom, despair. And yet when Superman comes in, it's not, you know, he's got the confidence of super strength, super speed, super all that. But the one thing Superman also has that no one else has is he sees that he can stop that meteorite. He sees that all those lives can be spared. He sees a different reality than all the other people there. It's the same with our kind of human heroes as well. When I think about the Mavericks past season, when they started out, it was kind of a good team with a lot of really old guys and a coach who didn't know what he was doing. And no one gave him a chance. And you look at Dirk Nowitzki, the leader of that group, and he looks at his team and sees a bunch of guys with experience. A bunch of guys who try hard. A bunch of guys who are going to win the championship. And sure enough, when no one expected it, they won the championship. Steve Jobs, Bill Gates, grew up in an era, and I remember there was, the first computer, you see pictures of it, and it's like the size of this room, maybe three times over or something, and it's got the computing power less than what you have in your little Go phone. And I remember they made this computer, and there's like this one army sergeant who was working with a computer and said, this will be the most worthless technology that has ever existed. Why would anyone ever want this? And that was kind of the theme. You know, it took the telephone a long time to catch on. It took radio and television a long time to really catch on in everyone's households. I think it was Steve Jobs who said, everyone will own a computer in their home, and people thought he was crazy. Now, how many computers do you have, including smartphones, computers, TVs that are wired to the internet, all those different things that run our lives for us? Because he saw possible in the impossible. And those are the great ones. The great ones see those visions. They see the things that are not of this world, and they reject all the things that people can't tell. They tell, you can't do this. That will never happen. All of these characters, the Noahs, the Abrahams, the Davids, the Samuels, all the Old Testament characters that Jesus grew up on, the one thread that they have in common is that they all believed in the impossible. And the impossible was given them by the word of God. That the things not of this world will truly come to happen. And so we have giants being slain. We've got a guy who I presume was laughing at some other people in a boat. We've got an old man who's promised at like 80 something years old that he will be the heir to kingdoms that will then bring forth the salvation of the world. Now, who are your heroes? Who are the people that make your life what it is? Who are the people that show you the possible in the impossible? One of the things as we've gone to more internet cultures, we've gone to more worldwide culture, is that these references are more available. Now, I'll tell you growing up that I was a huge Michael Jordan fan. I was a huge Troy Aikman fan. U2 started to emerge as my favorite band. So Bono was my, you know, hero as a musician. And these people had a certain influence on my life, at least in kind of a 10-minute span. Because for 10 minutes, I'd be singing in my room like Bono. And then 10 more minutes, I was out throwing passes out of my front yard to my friends like Troy Aikman. And for 10 minutes, I was out shooting hoops like Michael Jordan and just dreaming of greatness. Because these are the people that when people say you can't win the game, they say, watch me. When they say you can't do that with music, they say, watch me. When you say you can't accomplish that, they say, watch me. Another guy, though, lasted more than 10 minutes. And it's funny is in church, I was already kind of the hero growing up. My parents were real involved in church. In terms of faith matters, I was involved in everything. I wouldn't say that I was really following Christ. I just knew how to follow church really well. And so everybody knew me in church. I was involved in everything. And so I didn't look for people there. But in high school, that's where I needed help. As a sophomore, awkward sophomore, who was trying to play football for 2 years, been beaten up on the B team and, you know, kind of made it here and there, and socially really didn't know how to talk to anybody who was possibly above my class status, I guess you could say. There was a coach named Coach Clakely. And now this coach was kind of a different coach. He didn't yell at you as much as possible. He was a real nice guy. He was a loose-mannered guy. And I remember that we walk in for the beginning of practice, and you know, you're just in grays and maybe a helmet for the rules of high school football. And we went out there, and as soon as I walked out there, I realized how mature all of my other teammates had gotten and how scrawny I looked. I'm still scrawny compared to all these guys, but you know, at this point, I was dripping wet maybe 170 pounds or something like that. And here's a guy who would eventually star at Purdue who weighs like 280 pounds or something and is running a 40 and 4-4, and I'm lined up right across from him. And so I thought about quitting a lot for those first 2 weeks. We hadn't even strapped on the pads, and I thought about quitting over and over and over again. I saw a scrawny kid who was 175 pounds, who could maybe bench press 200 pounds, could maybe run a 40 and say like 4.9 or something like that. Wasn't gonna get a lot faster, wasn't gonna get a lot stronger, wasn't gonna get a lot of playing time. I saw a kid who would walk down the hallways as someone that no one else really wanted to look at. Girls certainly weren't gonna be interested in me. I saw a kid who was really good in the classroom but couldn't really help out other people in that. I saw a kid who really enjoyed just going home and being by himself. And for those of you who know me, that might be a surprise to want to do that. But after a few weeks in the football program, Coach Clakely saw something different. Because Coach Clakely saw a scrawny 175-pound kid who wouldn't give up. And he saw a scrawny 175-pound kid who would be willing to take any opportunity to get out on the field as much as he was going to get beat up as possible. He saw a kid who could play multiple positions because he knew he could memorize the plays. He saw a kid with potential. And let me tell you, in any realm of life, when your superhero mentor comes around and sees potential in you, it only means you have absolute hell to pay. because they ride you harder. They coach you more. They put you in situations where you're either going to fail or you're going to succeed to make you the person that they see you can become. And Coach Clakely would put me up against the 280-pound people. He'd shift me from position to position, play after play, knowing I'm not going to make the varsity. I'm not going to star for this team. He just wanted me to be who I was supposed to be. He wanted me to have the confidence that I could go out there and compete with anybody, whether it be in the classroom, socially, on the football field. He saw that. And now I started on the JV. I did okay. I was never the star. Hardly ever played a game on the varsity. But I looked him up on Facebook, and I just couldn't help but tell him, thank you. Thank you for seeing the impossible, or the possible, when all I could see was impossible. When all I could see was defeat and the end of the journey, all I could see was quitting, all I could see was weak. He saw potential, he saw power, he saw smarts, he saw someone that people would like. And through this process, I started to see that as well. Now you're here for a reason in worship today, and I'm guessing it's because there's a superhero named Jesus that you've bonded with. And Jesus has been around for literally thousands of years, touching millions of people's lives. He's the ultimate superhero in my book. Because there's great displays. There's the leaping of the tall buildings. There's the lasers coming into the eyes. He's healing a guy here. He's healing a woman here. He's standing up to the Pharisees and creating justice in the world. He's coming back from the dead, which I consider somewhat of a superpower. But in the end, I don't do those things. I think God will cause the resurrection to happen. I believe God can heal, but I don't know that I can do those things. I'll tell you what Jesus does do, is that Jesus sees the possibilities in every one of us that none of us can see for ourselves. When all we see is death, Jesus sees resurrection. When all we see is crippled, Jesus sees healed. And I'm not talking about actually fixing anybody's legs. I'm talking about when we see someone in a wheelchair, Jesus sees capable, awesome person. Someone who can serve the kingdom of God. When Jesus sees the socially awkward individual, he doesn't think socially awkward individual. He sees, what is this person supposed to be? Because they haven't found their niche yet. What will I call them to do? Because life in the midst of death, healing in the midst of pain, these are the ultimate impossibilities that we can't overcome. There's a lot of Debbie Downers in the world. There's a lot of people who are going to tell you, you're never going to do it again. You're never going to make that happen. You really think we can end poverty? You really think we can end hunger? You really think that all the people who have physical handicaps, all the people with special needs, that they're going to find a place in society? Let's backtrack a few years. You really think women deserve a right in the workplace? You really think African Americans deserve to vote? You really think Native Americans deserve land? What happened there? When we focus our attention the way that Jesus sees us, amazing things happen. Great things happen. Things that transform our world into a little bit more of the glimpse of the kingdom of God. The Hebrews passage says that Noah condemned the world, and doesn't mean he's saying, yes, the world's a bad place. He says, I'm not listening to you. I'm only listening to the God who says it can be done, the God who's telling me what to do. What kind of things does Jesus tell you to do? What kind of things does the ultimate superhero tell you to do? Does he tell you to go out and scale large buildings in a single leap? No. He says, love your neighbor as yourself. He says, sell everything and follow me in terms, make me the most important thing. He says, bring justice to the world. He says, act with kindness and compassion to one another. be understanding, and hold your neighbors accountable to that. And those are things that, given our human condition, we can't see by ourselves. But Jesus sees the possibilities in all of us. And so, no, you may never shoot laser beams from your eyes. I'm sorry. You may never fly, at least without wings or a plane or anything like that. You may never have a good jump shot. You may never throw the winning touchdown in a Super Bowl game. But if your hero, if your superhero is Jesus Christ, then there is no telling what God has in store for you. If you will run out into your front yard like the kid that you are of God and emulate Jesus Christ flying around in his Christ cape, then there is no telling what you're going to do. I want to end up by a challenge. There's a study that says that kids from, I think it was 6 years old until senior year of high school, will find five people that when they look back on their life will be the most significant five people outside of their parents. I'm hoping that you as parents, or you who will be parents, or people who are grandparents perhaps, are already serving as those superheroes. I'm hoping that you have invested the time to do that. And if you are not having kids or not capable of having kids, I hope that you have found other people to bring up like that, or friends to have done that. But no family is an island. Who are the five people that when they write their college acceptance essay will say, this person, me, that's who made the most difference in my life? Because I'm afraid if we leave the hero status up to people who are only heroes because they're trying to get our bank accounts and their own publicity, then we're gonna not find the heroes we need. But I'm convinced that if the church, the saints of Jesus Christ, can go out and be the heroes, to be the ones that college acceptance essays are written about, then our world will start to look a little bit more like the kingdom of heaven. And so who are the five people that are gonna write about you? That's your first challenge. The second challenge is something I hope you already know, something I hope you've already done. Who did you write about? Who are the five people that you would write about? And I want you today, because you might forget Monday. That's a shame about things. We forget them from Sunday to Monday. Call them up, write them a letter, send them an email, send them a Facebook, something. Send them a text message. Just say thank you. Thank you for seeing the me that I am supposed to be, the me that God created, the me that I never saw possible. Because somewhere in your life, you've had a superhero who just walked around like a real human being. Just like our Jesus Christ superhero walked around as a real human being. Showed us how to love, showed us how to care, showed us how to serve. And he was the ultimate superhero at seeing the possible when all we could see is the impossible. And so I challenge you today to only see the possible. To look at the kids, look at the teenagers, look at your friends and see the possible. And then we'll start to spread the superhero status of Jesus Christ even more to the world. Let's pray. Precious and gracious God, we ask that we would serve this world with vigor, that we would go out and make heroes out of ourselves. Not that we are self-proclaimed heroes, but we are following the one true superhero in Jesus Christ, Lord. All of the traits, all of the things that he did were seeing the possible in the impossible. And Lord, help us to see that so that we might act on it. We can say we believe in you all day long, God, but until we prove it, well, I don't think we're superheroes. So God, enable us to be the superheroes that this world needs, for kids to look up to and be icons of your spirit amongst us. In the power of your son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message from Stonebridge United Methodist Church. Feel free to join us at our bridge service, a relaxing and rejuvenating worship experience built around soulful music and worship of Jesus Christ, Sunday mornings at 10:45. For more information, visit our website, mysunc.org. Have a blessed day.